Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today, I'll be talking about AI versus the expert. As usual, there's a blog post to accompany this episode, which you'll find at danq.link/expert. AI versus the expert. 11 years ago, there was a comedy sketch called The Expert, which had software engineers and other misunderstood specialists laughing to tears. The main character, Anderson, played by Ryan Lee, presented a very relatable situation, being asked to do the literally impossible by people who don't understand why their requests can't be fulfilled. If you haven't seen the sketch, you should stop now and go and watch it, because it's hilarious. Decades ago, I had a client who wanted their web application to automatically print to the user's printer without prompting the user. I explained that was impossible because if a website could print to your printer without at least asking you first, everybody would be printing you ads as you browsed the web. My client's response was, "I don't need you to let everybody print, just my users." My client eventually took that particular requirement out of scope for the project, and I thought the matter was settled, but I later heard that they contracted a different developer to implement just that bit of functionality into the application after I'd delivered it, assuming, presumably, that when I said it was impossible, that I was simply saying I was incapable of it. I never checked, but my understanding is that they eventually got someone to write a component that exploited an ActiveX or Java applet vulnerability to achieve the goal. I don't even know what to say to that. Anyway, I was among those who really felt Anderson's situation. In the sketch, the client requires Anderson to
draw 7 red lines, all of them strictly perpendicular, some with green ink and some with transparent. Can you do that?
Anderson reasonably states that the challenge is impossible. Now, nerds have got a nerd, and so there have been endless debate on the internet about whether or not that task is truly impossible. For example, when I first saw the video, I was struck by the observation that perpendicularity within a set of lines is limited linearly to the number of dimensions you're working in, so it's absolutely possible to model 7 lines all perpendicular to one another if you're working in 7 dimensions. But let's put that whole debate aside for a moment and assume the task is truly impossible within some framework that's unspecified but implied within the universe of the sketch, okay? Following one of the many fever dreams I had while I was ill recently, I woke up wondering, how might an AI programmer handle this impossible task? I had an inkling of the answer, but I had to try it. I asked GPT-40 to assist me, asking, "Write a JavaScript program that uses a canvas element to draw 7 red lines, all of them strictly perpendicular, some with green ink and some with transparent. Can you do that?" The AI responded,
"Certainly. To draw 7 red lines on a canvas element, with some lines using green ink and others being transparent, you can use the HTML5 Canvas API. Here's a simple JavaScript program that accomplishes this."
It provided me with some code, which I ran. It had completely ignored the perpendicularity requirement and drew 7 vertical lines. Red one, green one, an orangey one, which I guess was supposed to be semi-transparent red, followed by another red, green, orange, and red one, all laid out, evenly spaced across a canvas. Drawing all of the lines strictly parallel to one another was the exact opposite of what the perpendicularity requirement was, but it at least was possible. I gave it a bit of a nudge. "Those lines aren't perpendicular," I said. "Can you fix my code?"
"Certainly. To draw 7 lines that are strictly perpendicular to each other, we need to ensure that each line is at a 90-degree angle to the next. Here's how you can achieve that using the canvas element."
You notice there that it claimed the task was absolutely achievable, even clarifying that the lines should be strictly perpendicular to one another before proceeding to instead make each consecutively drawn line be perpendicular only to its predecessor, drawing sort of a zigzagging snake down the page, a red line to the right, a green line down, an orange line to the left, and so on. That's not what I asked for. It's not what I wanted, but it is pretty much what I expected. You might argue that this test is unfair, and it is, but there is a point that I'll get to. First, let's look at how a different model responded. This week, the Claude 3.7 Sonnet model was released, so I tried the same question with it, and I got back what I'd consider to be a much better answer. It said,
I see you're referencing the famous expert talks, draw seven red lines comedy sketch. This is a deliberately impossible task, drawing red lines with green ink, having all lines perpendicular to each other in 2D space, etc. Let me create a humorous JavaScript program that attempts to solve this impossible problem.
In my mind, that's pretty much an ideal answer. It acknowledges the impossibility of the question, or at least addresses the supposed impossibility of it. Claude 3.7 Sonnet did well here, but I can't confirm whether it did so because it had been trained on data that recognized the existence of the expert sketch. It's clearly aware of it, given its answer. I wonder how it would cope with a truly novel but impossible puzzle. The code it delivered eventually drew seven lines, two of them perpendicular to one another and the rest all parallel to the first line, but each labelled with the dimension that it should be considered to be in. 2D, 3D, 4D, 5D, and with tooltips when you hovered over them to say, oh, this is the 5D line, it's in the V-axis. The web page it produced for me included an explanation that the task was impossible and a link to the video of the original sketch, which further feeds my notion perhaps it wouldn't have given such a good answer were it not aware of the sketch. But what's the point of all of this? Well, personally, I remain committed to not using AI to do anything that I couldn't do myself and can therefore check. The answer I got from GPT-4o goes a long way to demonstrating why. Suppose I didn't know that it was impossible to make seven lines perpendicular to one another in anything less than seven-dimensional space. If that was the case, it would be tempting to accept an AI-provided answer was correct and ship it. And while that example is trivial and at least a little bit silly, it's the kind of thing that I have no doubt actually happens in other areas. Chatbots have an eagerness to provide a helpful answer, even if no answer is possible, and that's a huge liability. The other week, I experimentally asked Claude 3.5 for assistance with a PHP unit mocking challenge, and it provided a whole series of answers that were all completely invalid. It later turned out what I was trying to achieve was impossible. In fact, I was going about the whole problem in an entirely wrong way. I had to do some minor refactoring, and then I had some solid unit tests that fit the bill, and I didn't need to do the impossible. But the AI never clocked that, and I suspect it never would have. Given that its answers clearly didn't work, there was no risk I'd have shipped it anyway, but I'm certain there exist developers who've asked a chatbot for help in a domain they didn't understand and accepted its answer while still not understanding it, which feels to me like a quick route to introducing into your code a bug that happy path testing might not reveal, you know, something like a security vulnerability or an accessibility failure. Code-assisting AI remains really interesting and occasionally useful, but it's also a real minefield, and looking around I see a lot of naivete about its limitations. Once again, this episode was based on a blog post, which you can find at danq.link/expert. If you've enjoyed today's episode, then you should definitely go and watch or re-watch The Expert, because it's hilarious. But if you've enjoyed today's episode particularly, go to that URL, leave a comment, or email me on podcast@danq.me. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, Dan Q for listening. Dan Q very much.